Praise the Lord. If you got your Bibles, you're going to want to see this. We're going to build on what we were talking about a couple of weeks ago. And so we're going to continue down that vein. There it is. And it's ministering, healing, and praying for the sick. And I'll ask you the same thing I asked last time I was here. How many of y'all need healing in your body? Okay, and how many of y'all want to be better at seeing other people get healed when you pray for them? Amen. This is the right class for us. So I'm going to recap just a little tiny bit for those of you that weren't here. The first thing we talked about was the Bible, the Word of God, that it's got to be the first and final authority. The Bible says that forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. And also it says that God holds his word above his own name. And it also says that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So those three things we hit, that God put his word and established his word above his own name, that if ever he reneged on his word or lied, good to see you, Miss Lynn, if he ever lied, he has to stop being God. He can't. It's impossible for God to lie. And he's put his word into place so that we can trust on his word. And now, if we don't take that word and hold it as the anchor in our heart and in our mind, and we become double-minded, maybe it'll work, maybe it won't work, then we don't receive anything from the Lord. Amen. It doesn't work. It's like if you're going to go to the store and go grocery shopping, well, maybe I'm going to go, and you start driving, and you go, oh, man, maybe I'm not going to go. And then you go back home. And then you go, oh, but I really need that chocolate cake. Okay, so I'm going to head to the store. And you get to the store and go, man, I know I shouldn't eat that chocolate cake. That's really not good. I'm going to go back home again. And I go back home again. And you know what? That's double-minded. You want it, but I don't know. And we've got to settle it in our hearts first and foremost that the Word of God takes superiority over whatever our history is, whatever our experience is, whatever our feelings are, and whatever our carnal mind is telling us. We have to get that settled first and foremost. And then we talked about some of the key principles that the devil's bad and that God is good. We got that? So if ever there's sickness being put on us, God is not making you sick. God doesn't test you with sickness. God doesn't tempt you with sickness. God does not feel any compulsion whatsoever to even begin to go down that road. He is life and life more abundantly. He is everlasting life. And in life, there is no death. It's just a fact. And so anything that's going on in our bodies, whether it's emotional, spiritual, or physical, no matter what it is, if it is happening, it is not God making it happen to you. So many people, when they fall into tragedy and they have sickness in their body or they lose a loved one or there's an accident or something like that, they always say, why did God let it happen? Instead of blaming the devil for doing this. I mean, that's one of the greatest things the devil ever has done, is make us put all our attention on God and leave him out of the picture. Hey, don't look at me. Don't bring me into it. And he's the one that does it all, right? And so we need to place the blame where the blame should be, and that is not on God, never. So then we talked on that. And then we talked about how Jesus gave us authority to go out and to heal people. And all of us have been given authority in the name of Jesus to operate in healing. It's a gift from God. It is not our ability. It is not our skill. It is nothing to do with how great we are. It has to do with believing God. Just believing God. Okay? And then we started talking about some of the common problems that can cause us to struggle with receiving our healings. And one of the first ones that we talked about was that, sorry about that, guys. One of the first ones we talked about was, that's my wife's ring, by the way. It's an emergency ring. Anyway, so we talked about that. We quit believing. You know, we'll believe for a while, and we'll say, you know, I believe the word. I believe you, Lord. And then after a little while, we stop believing because we don't see the results the way we think we're supposed to see the results, or we don't see the results in the time frame that we think it needs to be done in, right? And so people can stop believing from not getting it done. And the second one we talked about was fear, that people walk in a tremendous amount of fear and that they sometimes are not willing to go all the way against the devil. And we use the verse that all our lives we've been afraid, but Jesus gave his everlasting spirit so that we won't be afraid any longer, so that fear has no more power over us. And that we also talked about in Revelations, where we overcome the devil, you guys must know this one, by the blood of the Lamb, right? By the word of our testimony, and this third part that people don't like to quote, and not loving our own lives, even to the death. So, that's another little area in our lives we don't want to face too much, is that are you willing to stand on the truth regardless of what happens, even if it kills you? And I don't mean the sickness kills you. Again, we're overcoming the devil. Overcoming the devil. Are you willing to take it all the way into eternity to win against him? And some of us give up too soon. All right? And then our last one that we left on was emotional or worldly issues. Those things sometimes get in the way of us being able to receive our healings. And we have to really be founded in the Word. I mean, I can't even say this enough. We have got to be grounded in the truth. Because otherwise, if we start going in our emotions and how we feel, oh, it's an emergency now. Oh, if God doesn't do something now, they're going to die. You're already lost the battle. Because you're caught in the trap that the devil makes for us, that God has got to do something that he hasn't already done. That's a hard one. And so we're going to go on to some new ones. So if you want to get your papers out, and we're going to hit a new one. We've got a few more we're going to cover. Some of the other reasons why it's difficult for people to receive their healings. Generational curses. You ever heard that before? You guys know what a generational curse is? Okay, then I'll go right on to the next one then. Generational curses. It's been in our family as long as anybody can remember. A generational curse is something that you accept because it's always been in your family. Those are much harder to overcome because you naturally just accept it because it's always been around you. Or like, say, our family has a history of heart disease, or our family has a history of leukemia. And what we're doing is we're giving the devil glory, saying that familiar spirit can keep coming down through our lines. I'm going to change channels for 1 second for you guys. You know, sometimes this is in breaking curses. Sometimes we go and we will see a familiar curse in a family line and a familiar spirit in a family line, and we'll come against that spirit. And we'll cast out that spirit, we'll rebuke that spirit, and we'll make that spirit leave. Okay? And then we'll repent for whatever it is that our part of what we have done to come in agreement that that thing was in our family, so that it doesn't go any further. I would like to add one more thing that I notice a lot of people don't do that I want to encourage you to do. After you've done that, release the blessings that God has ordained for that family line. So many of us are not experiencing the real flow and life of the blessings of God that were ordained to come through our family line, because the devil has robbed it from our family. And so when we break that curse, go the next step, after you renounce it in your family, go the next step and release the blockade of the blessings that should be coming down through your family line. You can go back several generations so that those natural blessings that were ordained for your family can come back again and start flowing in your lives. So many people do not do that part. Okay? And just think, if the devil's been robbing from your family for generations in some infirmity or something, all the things that have been stolen from your family because of that, it needs to be restored. Okay? And so you can be the person that restores it. Uncle Bill or Aunt Joyce or anybody else, it doesn't matter about them. You have the authority to bring that back through. Just a little side note. Are you with me? Okay, so there's three kinds of unbelief. And unbelief is another thing that blocks us from seeing the healing in people and in ourselves. And the first one is just natural unbelief. You're not opposed to it happening. It just never occurred to you that it could happen. So you don't believe it because it hasn't been in the scope of your thinking or understanding. And usually when that's exposed, the person can easily start receiving again. And it's not that they're defying you in unbelief. They just don't know. Okay? So there's this natural unbelief in people just in ignorance. And then there is the unbelief of this world where they have history and experience of failures, of other people not having successes. And just this natural experience of this world causes unbelief in some people's hearts. They believe the doctors over the word of God that's settled in heaven. They believe their family over the word of God that's settled in heaven. They believe their physical body over the word of God that's settled in heaven. And so there's an unbelief that happens because you're in the world. Okay? And that's the unbelief that the Bible talks about that you can have in your heart that overrides belief. Right? And then the third type of unbelief, it's the worst kind of them all. It is one who refuses to believe and has a hardened heart. That person will not believe. And when you come up against that, there's no point in going any further. They have put their foot down and they have said, no, I don't want this. It's not going to happen. No. And usually those things come from being really shipwrecked in their heart somewhere in their past to where they did once and they probably put all their eggs in that basket and that person died anyway. And they probably just hate God right now and have this hardened heart to where they just refuse to give God any ground whatsoever. And that type of unbelief, you're not going to fight against it. You're not going to speak to them and talk them out of it. It's going to be something that you can say your words, let the Holy Spirit water those words, let Holy Spirit give them some experiences, and usually you got to come from another way into that person's life to where they do have an open door somewhere else that God can get a foothold back into their life and start showing his goodness to them. But in that area, they're shut down tight as a drum. So those three kinds of unbelief are another reason why some people don't receive from God. Then, number seven, identity and trust issues. We see this one a lot. Can anybody relate to that? Amen. Fred can. All right. So if you guys want to know what an identity issue is, look at Fred. Amen. Thank you, Fred. So, some of us just get so hurt in our lives that we don't believe we're worthy to get those things from God. We just have a really difficult time. We think we've messed up too much. We think that we've been too bad. Somebody's been telling us all of our lives we're no good. And what has happened is they have perverted our identity so that we have a very difficult time receiving from God and believing by faith. And this one is a tough one because most people don't examine their own hearts to see what they believe and why they believe it. And if you won't examine your own heart to what do you believe and why do you believe that, then it's just like this invisible piece of concrete that is set on your heart between your healing and the Holy Spirit. And so we have to work on our identity. That, listen, shame came in the Garden of Eden. It's common to all people. Hiding is common to all people. And control is common to all people. So we don't think highly of ourselves or high enough of ourselves in a good, godly way. So we're going to self-protect, withdraw, and not let people see the real, full me. I'm going to put on a facade of who I am, that I'm more spiritual than I might believe that I am. I'm going to take control of the way that my life is so that nobody can get through that veil. And that's not just you that does that. I want to let you know. That's every human being does that. And so the more genuine we can be with that we are broken, we are not all that, and that we have struggles, and that we are still believing God and working it out and moving forward, it lets other people do the very same thing. And even, you know, we have testimonies. And when we get to share our testimony with other people, they get to see what we've lived through, as much as we'll be vulnerable and share. They get to see what we've had to stand against. They get to see how God has transformed us. And that gives them the ability to put themselves kind of in our place to some degree so that they can believe God for more. Or that they can believe God in an area that they haven't had faith in yet by hearing our stories. And so identity issues are a biggie in helping people to receive their healings. They don't have to deserve it. I'm serious. You know, Pastor Trey talks about it every so often, that Jesus healed them all. And I read all those scriptures last time on how every time Jesus healed everyone. And Pastor Trey would say, how many of those do you think had sin in their life? How many of you those thought maybe they lied earlier that day or stole something or had an affair or was mean and greedy? Who knows what they've been doing out there in the world? And Jesus healed them all. We don't have to qualify to receive healing in our bodies. Amen. I just want to let you know, we do not. Everyone has fallen short. You're never going to be clean enough, and you're never going to be good enough. You're never going to be enough like Jesus to deserve anything from God. It's a gift, and thank God it is. It's a gift. And the more we realize it's a gift to be able to lay hands on people and see them healed, and it's a gift to be able to receive healing, the easier it will be to get it. Does that make sense? We'll stop blocking it. Long-term sickness. That's another one that people have a really difficult time with getting healing on. If they've had it their whole life, if they have been broken or hurt for a very, very, very long time, what happens is we make concessions for that sickness or that disability. We have equipment in our house. We have a structured way of living our lives. We have people in agreement with us to help us along the way. And now what we do is have this whole big structure in place that creates a permanent reality inside of us. We might say, I want to be healed. But at the very same moment, we're trusting all these structures we put in place. Sometimes it's even a government check because it's disability. And if we got healed, we don't know what we would do, because half of us believe we can be healed, but the other half of us kind of depends on that money. It's all kinds of things happen when we've been sick for a long time. And so that's another area that people need a little bit of extra encouragement for. And we're going to go into that as I go to the next stage of this. Okay? Mental illness and demonic influence are the last two, and sometimes those are the same thing. So mental illness can actually be demonic influence. And sometimes people are demonized to the point that they need that thing cast out before they're ever going to see any healing in their body, because it's a spirit. You know, and a very famous spirit that really flows through people's lives that I bet some of you have experienced is the spirit of infirmity. The spirit of infirmity is a real tricky one because he moves around. If you've ever been praying for somebody and they have a shoulder pain, and so you pray for the shoulder pain, and next thing you know, now they got hip problems. And then you got praying for the hip problems, and it goes into back problems. And it just keeps staying somewhere, somehow, in their body, infirmed. That's a spirit, usually. And so I'll teach you later on in the notes on how to deal with spirits of infirmity, because they can be real tricky. But the whole secret of that, I'm going to just tell you the secret right now. Here's the key. Stick it in the lock. Deal with the person, not the problem. Treat it like a person. And when you treat it like a person, you can operate in authority over it. Moving on. Okay. So now I want to change channels, and I want to talk about practical healings for yourself. How do you get healings in your own self? Those seem, for some people, are the hardest ones. How many of y'all have ever had trouble with that? How many have victory in getting healings in your own body? Yes and amen. Yes and amen. So I'll tell you, if I don't cover something that you've used and you do and it works, feel free to share it. These are not the end-all be-alls, okay? So if God showed you some way to get your healing, praise God. Teach it to others. Number one, be honest with yourself. Be honest with yourself. Where do you stand in this? What do you believe? Where are you at in the whole thing? You got to be honest with yourself to have a clear assessment. If ever you're going to go on a trip somewhere, you need to find out where you're at and where you want to go to. And then you can use a map to help you get there. But if you don't know where you're at, it's a hard trip to plan on how to get to any place else. So you need to know, where are you at in your healing, in your whole walk with the Lord, with your opinion of yourself, with all those things we covered? Where are you at? Truthfully, be honest with yourself. You know, and let me just say, what, Fred? GPS, God's positioning system. Amen. So sometimes we try to be more spiritual than we are. And we say the things that the Bible says, but we almost are trying to make the words that we say or the scripture that we're using kind of like magic or like a pill. And I want to let you know, that's not what heals a person. It's the revelation of that word. It's the knowledge of God's character. It's the knowledge of what he's made available for us. And so we need to really be truthful with where we're at when we're dealing with sickness in ourselves and with other people. Amen. And if you're not real, you can't expect real results. God doesn't just lather on things on top of you because you say so. Unless the words of your heart and the words of your mouth, you love those words. If you love those words, then they're going to happen. And what do I mean by saying that you love those words? It means, and I'll read the verse to you. What it means is, it's like a relationship. That word love is like the love of a parent, or the love of a husband or a wife, or the love of your home, or the love of your children. Okay? It's, you dwell with it. Okay? It's in your life. You're connected to it. You have favor for it. So the words that you speak, that you like, that you're with, that you cling to is going to bring you life or death. And I'm telling you, there are some people that really like speaking negative. They'll say, oh no, I like speaking life. Oh no, oh no. But listen to them. What is their general conversation? It's woe is me's. So those are the words that they love. And that's what's going to affect their life. So what are the words and the attitudes that you kind of have adopted in your life? Those are the ones that are going to be manifesting in your future. Okay? Those are the words you love. Whether you think they're right or whether anyone else approves of them, you are the one that keep choosing those words and that way of thinking and that attitude. So that's what perpetuates your future. Okay, second one. So get honest with yourself. Speak to the mountain quickly. Do you know what I mean when I say that? Everybody should know what that means. Speaking to the mountain quickly is, pain, get out of my body right now in Jesus' name. The second it comes, get out of here right now. No, I do not accept that. You have no right to be in my body. By the blood of Jesus and the cross of Christ, I have been healed. Devil, you have no right to lay that on me. No. The word says, by his stripes I was healed, and I still am, and I will continue to be. And you slap that stuff down quick and speak to the mountain. The mountain is whatever the trouble is, whatever the fear is that starts rising up inside of you, whatever the worry is that comes, whatever the words are that bubble up inside of you that are contrary to the fact that you're healed. Like, say you're believing for a hip. It's like, ready? Oh Lord, I thank you that by your stripes I'm healed and that my hip is healed. Thank you, Jesus, for that. And you're sitting in your chair and you hear the mailman come and you got to go get your mail. And the first thing that happens is you get up out of your chair and you go, oh, I don't want to walk out to the mailbox right now. Why? Because that's speaking reality to you right then. And that's when you got to go, no, hip, you're healed. We're walking out to the mailbox right now. And you go anyway. Do you hear what I'm saying? Speak to those things. And sometimes we let the subtlety of them just work their way into where we make concessions for them. So speak to the mountain swiftly. Three, prepare for peace in time of war. You guys know what I mean by that? Pray for finances and prosperity before you need the money. Thank God that you're healed and that you're whole and that you're strong and you're vibrant before the sickness comes. Build up the antibodies of your personal repertoire of spiritual verses that you have your arrows ready to go, right? Find out what you believe about the word in healing and financial prosperity, relationships, whatever it is. And where do you stand? What's God's position on it? What's your position on it? And thank him for it, and thank him for it, and thank him for it. Thank him for health on your great days. Thank him for health on the hard days. But you get it going so that when you're built up, when you're doing good, then if the negative comes, you can push it away really fast. You can slap it down really fast. While it's just that inkling of something, you can get it down quick. If you don't have that and it comes, it gets to settle in you a little bit while you're trying to figure out the verses that you need, and it kind of has this way of worming its way in. And now it has some form of a foothold in you, and it's harder to get that thing out. It's like a cat comes up onto your property and starts meowing. What do you do at that moment? Huh? Do you listen to it outside? Meow, meow, meow. And it's like, you might have the sense to say, don't feed it. Okay? It'll go away eventually. Don't feed it. Okay? So are you that person to where you tolerate it? You don't open a door to it necessarily. You don't come into agreement with it, but you just kind of let it linger and on its own it's going to go away. Or are you the person that gets the bucket of water, the glass of water, and when the cat's meowing on your front porch, you open the door, get out of here, psh, throw a glass of water on it, make it leave? I'm talking about illness. Where do you stand on it? Some of us, we don't mean to, but we just do. And we've got to make sure it has no right. Because if you give it any attention, like the cat, it'll become its home. Don't be the home of pain, of sickness, of anger, malice, envy. Just don't be the home of that stuff. Okay? Spot condemnation, number 4. If you have any condemnation, you need to spot it right away. If there's something in you that is condemning you, you need to recognize it right now. And one thing is a good conscience. To have a good conscience before God is very, very helpful. It's very helpful. If we fall into sin, if we have habits that we don't feel like the Holy Spirit truly approves of, those things kind of weaken us in our position, in our stance. And so recognize if there's any condemnation in you. You know, again, I use this example, but again, that you're unworthy, that you don't, you're not entitled to it, or you've messed up too much, or I sinned willfully. I deliberately defiled God. I knew better and I did it anyway. And so now I don't have that vibrant strength to stand against it because I feel guilty right now. Okay? Those things make it more difficult to get the healing. So find out if there's condemnation in you. And if there is, what's the cure? It's an R word. Yes! Thank you, whoever said repent. Listen, repent is easy. Just say, God, I did it. I fully did it. Please forgive me. I don't want to do that anymore. Strengthen me to not do it anymore. And cleanse me of any condemnation that's in me or guilt in me right now. Any unrighteousness of any kind. And restore me back to complete clarity with you. And just take that moment and get right with God again to help you in those opportunities for yourself to receive healing in your body. What's the next one? I love this one. Guard your tongue. Proverbs 18:21. Oh, I just realized I finally just gave you guys a scripture. Wow. I've been talking for quite a few minutes and I finally gave you a scripture. All right. What's this say? Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who what? Will eat its fruit. And did I describe what love it means to you? Do you understand what love it means? Okay. This is not just because you spoke some word. You said, I don't feel good, or whatever the case may be. No. We're not talking about just an idle little word. We're going to be judged for every idle word when we get before the Lord. But that's not what this is saying. This is talking about having a relationship with a way of speaking and thinking. Okay? And we need to overrule and change our channel sometimes because we have a propensity towards a certain way of speaking. Okay? And death and life are in the power of your tongue. And whatever it is of those words that you speak that you are connected to, they're going to come to pass. Yeah, because it works in a good way too, Fred. It works in a good way. You know, I was in Matthew, it talks about that by your words you'll be justified and by your words you'll be condemned. You know that? And I was reading that one day and I go, oh Lord, I'm going to be in so much trouble when I stand before you. Oh no. By my words I'm going to be condemned. I have spoken so many negative and bad words and cursed people with my words and thought terrible things, which are still words. And it's like I've spoken it in my heart. And it's like, I am in trouble, Lord. And he says, read it again. I said, that by my words I will be justified, and by my words I'll be condemned. Or I think it's condemned first and then justified. And I did it again. I was so worried. And not the third time he told me, says, by my words I'll be condemned, and by my words I'll be justified. I can change the way I speak. I can speak differently and be justified by my words. When I choose to say what God says, when I choose to say what the Bible says, when I choose to say what the Holy Spirit is telling me to say, I'm being justified by my words. Amen. I'm in agreement with God, and He never is wrong, never lies. And so our words, guard your tongue. All right, number six is guard. It's weed the garden of your heart. Weed the garden of your heart. Proverbs 4:23. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs what? The issues of life. So we need to keep our heart with all diligence. We need to guard our hearts. We need to protect what's going into my heart. We need to not let that negativity, nagging stuff that people do worm its way into us. We need to shut it down. Listen, this is hard for some people. Some of you are in circumstances that you're in close proximity to people that are toxic to you. I'm not looking at anybody right now. And they would be so offended if you told them they were toxic to you. So I'm not looking at anybody. But you know, it grieves you by the way they speak or the way they behave or the way they justify themselves around you. And those things are very difficult to overcome because you're trapped in that. And it takes time to teach people how to treat you. People treat you the way you taught them to treat you. What you slapped down and would not tolerate, and what you allowed to take place. What you did not confront and just hoped that it would go away. So we teach the people around us how we are. And if we are not being true to life and we need to make some adjustments, know that you're going to have tribulations with the people in your life during that adjustment period. They're going to freak out a little bit because you're acting different. Seriously, you're not going along with the program. You're not being the way you trained me you are. And so when that starts happening, they're not going to understand. They're going to validate their position. They're going to tell you the way you are. They're going to tell you what the rules are that we have in this relationship. They will do those things. And you need to be true to the Holy Spirit, handle it the way He tells you to handle it, and reteach people what you will accept and what you will not accept. And you need to do that in order to be in control of your environment, to guard your heart. Okay? I was doing dragon boats one time. You know what dragon boats are? Dragon boats in Portland, Oregon, it's the city of bridges. It's got rivers going through it, Willamette River, and they have these big canoe-type boats with the dragon's head on it and the person that stands on the steer and about 20 people who all paddle, 10 on one side and 10 on the other side. And we, as a big thing, we all have these dragon boat races. Okay? And so they line these things up under the bridge, they hit the horn, and these boats compete to get to the finish line. And then they have heats where they have eliminations and they finally get down to, and they have the professional, the intermediate, and the beginner groups. And we're a beginner group. And we decided we're going to win. And none of us have ever done it before. I think one person in our group has done it before. And so we have nothing to compare it to. So we're going and going, and we're practicing every day, and we're getting in synchronization. And we decided we're going to pray together. We're all a bunch of real estate agents at the time. We're going to pray together and believe God that we win our heat. And so we all did that, and we decided, now no negative speaking. Everybody, we only focus on, we're winners. We have won. And we all agreed. And we're going, we're practicing and doing our stuff. Well, comes race day, we start winning. I mean, we start winning. We are stroke. The guy in the back is, there's a person in the front that says stroke. Or they beat a drum, boom, boom, boom. And the guy in the back steers, and the rest of us are the engine. And we were going, and we were winning. And then we had a break for lunch. And so at the break for lunch, they decided we were too good. We're just slamming all the other beginners, that somehow we might have been cheating. Like as if we were already experienced oarsmen or something. No, we just decided we're going to win. Anyway, so they moved us up to the next category, up the intermediate category, which none of us were prepared for that at all. And so I was with my friend at the time, and we're at lunch, and she says to me, she goes, you know, being in that new category, you know, you can't expect to win in that new category. You know, those are much better people than you. And I said, I cannot tolerate that kind of speech around me right now. We are winning our medal, and we are going home with a medal. I don't care what they're going to do to us, okay? And she was going, now you need to be realistic about this. And I said, I'm going to eat my lunch outside. I left. So I went back to our group of people, and I said, we can do this. And I saw that they were all kind of like halfway defeated, you know, because they pulled the carpet out from underneath us. So we get back in there, and I'm telling everybody, now listen, same thing. We can win this. We can do this. Look how good we were. We're so good. They're intimidated. They moved us up to the next one. We can beat these guys too. And so I had a fair amount of people on board with me. And we go, and we start winning. And we lost a few. We won a few. At the end of the day, we came in second place in intermediate, which was quite a challenge because there was like 30 boats or something like that. So the thing is, we had to guard our hearts against any negativity that we were going to accomplish this thing. And we need to do that when it comes to believing God by faith in any area, including healing in our own body. You got to guard your heart. You just have to. Okay? And did I talk to you about weed the garden of your heart yet? Proverbs 4:23. Oh yeah, I did do that one. Okay, and okay, number 7, the power of your imagination. I'm going to have to finish with this one. And then next week I can talk about how to minister to others. The power of your imagination. That's a biggie. How do you see your life? How do you see who you are? How do you see what's possible for you? What do you picture? What do you picture? What do you have as your anchor in your heart and mind? Because what you picture, your words are going to follow. And what you picture and your words following is going to steer the course of your life. It just is. So do you picture health and vitality, or do you picture troubles and you have to navigate troubled waters? Is your picture that everyone loves you and can't wait for you to come into their presence because you just add so much to them, they're just excited that you're there? Or do you picture that people, they don't love you that much. They tolerate you. I'm just saying things. So I had to put this to the test. You got time for a testimony? Okay. I know this is going to be hard for you to picture. Don't even try picturing it, but go ahead. I used to smoke. Sorry, I'm confessing it. I used to smoke for 15 years. I smoked cigarettes from being a little kid, 15 years old or so, up until on and off for a long time, 40. And, sorry. And I tried to quit, and I tried to quit, and I tried to quit, and I could never really quit. And I really tried to quit one time, and I'm at work, and all of the employees that I was working with huddled together and ganged up on me and said, Bob, I used to be Bob back then, Bob, smoke a cigarette. We can't stand you. Go smoke a cigarette. And I said, oh my gosh, is it really that bad? And I was miserable. I was like a grizzly bear. And I couldn't stop smoking. I tried and tried, and it was just terrible. And I had asthma at the time too, and I still smoked anyway. Figure that out. And so I was praying about it one day, and the Lord said, why don't you quit the way I would do it? And I go, how would you do it, Lord? And he said, I would call things that be not as though they were. In other words, I would speak what I actually want in my life and build the image inside of me of a life without cigarettes in it. Not I'm standing against cigarettes is what I was always doing before. So I had a battle with cigarettes. What I did was I created an image of my life without cigarettes. Here's how I did it. I would walk around my swimming pool and I'd smoke cigarettes. And I'd be saying, Lord, I thank you that I got clean lungs. Lord, I thank you that I love to exercise. Lord, I thank you that my skin smells good. Lord, I thank you I got breath in my lungs. Lord, I thank you that I walk in complete freedom. Lord, I thank you for the wonderful life you've given me. And I'd go on. And every day I would do that. And my only rule was, if I didn't feel like having a cigarette, I would put it out. In just a few days, I started smoking half of a cigarette instead of the whole cigarette. Saying, Lord, I thank you that you love me, that I'm delivered from everything. I have such freedom in my life. I have confidence everywhere I go. And I just build this image on the inside of me. And as I was building that image, less and less cigarettes had the power over me. And eventually, one day, I just said, I don't need these anymore. And I just stopped. And in my yard, I was doing remodeling. I'd have cigarette butts all over the grass off my back porch. And I'd have cigarettes in the console of my car. And I deliberately did not throw them away or clean up my yard. I said, listen, I either quit or I didn't. I'm either free or I'm not. I'm not going to pretend. And I just would keep doing it. And finally, after like 6 months, I threw those cigarettes that were in my console of my car away, and I cleaned up my backyard, all them cigarette butts. And I'm done smoking. Because I built a new image. I never made cigarettes my problem. Some of us need to see our bodies as vibrant, as healed, as strong, as flexible, whatever it is. And just keep thanking God until those things that we're calling into being manifest. Does that make sense? Yeah. Amen. I'm going to stop with that one right there. And it's the power of your imagination. Well, I'm going to hit the last one real quick. Expect change regardless of your past results. No matter what, you're not bound by your past. God is the God of hope, and we hope in God, and hope is a joyful expectation of something to come. And so even if you've been battling for a long time, hope in the Lord. Do not get discouraged. You can absolutely be free. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Father, I just thank you for this group of people. I thank you for the attentive ears, Lord Jesus, and the open hearts of everyone that's heard this message today, Father. And Father, for each one of us that are standing for healing in our own body, and Father, guarding our words, getting your word settled in our hearts and our minds, speaking your word, Lord, speaking faith, seeing those things that be not as though they are, knowing from our inner man, knowing the truth on the progress that we're making, Lord, that, Father, as we stand in these things and we continue in them, Father, that we win through sheer length of time, just standing and standing until the devil gives up, Lord, and that we outlive him and we outlast him by never changing our confession, Father. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Love you guys.